Hello, I'm Father Charles Connor, a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, and author of the book Classic Catholic Converts. We'd like to welcome you to this series, The Catholic Priesthood Through the Ages, as we consider today the priest as preacher of the Word of God. For our own day, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, situates the importance of the priestly role as a preacher of God's Word in this fashion. After the council, he writes, the impression arose here and there that there were more urgent things to do than to proclaim the Word of God and to administer the sacraments. Many were of the opinion that one first had to establish a different society before one could again devote time to such things. At the root of such views lay a spiritual blindness that was only able to perceive material values and forgot that men and women always need the whole, that both their physical and their spiritual hunger must be answered. Nor can spiritual questions be put off, Cardinal Ratzinger writes. On the contrary, their postponement or exclusion only incites other problems and makes them even more impossible to solve. So if we have gotten away from the preaching of the Word of God, we are to get back to it, priests in particular. The importance of preaching in the priestly life is something that goes back to the earliest days of the church. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is very, very clear about it. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, but how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? It is therefore necessary that someone should speak to people about God, otherwise they are never going to hear of him. They will never get to know him. They will never be able to call upon him in order to be saved. In this sense, priests, as co-workers with their bishops, have a primary duty, and that duty, the Second Vatican Council says, is the proclamation of the gospel of God to all. That gospel is, of course, the fullness of truth. The fullness of truth, the fullness of the word of salvation, as we know, is found only in Christ's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and only that church can teach the word of God in its fullness and in its totality and with authority. This task of teaching the word of God was explicitly entrusted by Christ to his apostles when he told them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Priests, therefore, have been sent to teach. They have been sent in the same manner that the apostles were sent. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you," our divine Lord said. All of our power as priests, as preachers, is based on the fact that we have been sent by him who has supreme authority, and it is from him that the authority of the priest as preacher comes. Not from any personal qualities of the priest, not from the priest's own eloquence, not from his preparation, not from his intellectual training. His authority as a preacher of the Word of God comes from God and from God alone. Every priest, therefore, is sent out. He is sent out with a very specific commission, namely to preach Jesus Christ and to make his message known. St. Mark was very explicit about this in his gospel. He said, "Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to the whole of creation." Mark is quoting our divine Lord, telling his followers to preach the gospel, not to preach their opinion, not to preach something that is popular, but rather to preach the gospel and to preach the gospel in all its fullness. So there's a tremendously important idea here. The idea is that the priest has been sent, the priest has been divinely commissioned, the priest has been sent to preach not his own opinion, but rather the truth of Jesus Christ, as that truth is reflected in the Gospels. This idea comes home to us very clearly in the Acts of the Apostles. We have mentioned previously in this series the story in the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in which the first ordination in the church is recorded. And that is, of course, the ordination of the seven deacons through the imposition of hands and the invocation of the Holy Spirit. The Christian community had become so large that other forms of organization were needed. And we find the apostles saying, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. And that is why then seven deacons were appointed, and the apostles could then say, we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, if the apostles believed that prayer and preaching were so important as to oblige them to delegate many of their other duties to these seven deacons, then we have to look at these activities, and particularly for our purposes here, preaching, and we have to say that preaching is very, very eminently important, and it must constitute one of the priest's primary considerations. St. Paul was even more forceful about it when he wrote his first letter to the Corinthians, and he said to them, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Every priest, therefore, has been sent to spread this message of salvation, this gospel, which is our hope in Christ. As that great apostle Paul once again reminded the Ephesians, who were also filled with hope when they had heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Such a concept, my good people, becomes all the more poignant when you stop to consider that the ignorance of religion in this world of ours is immense. Billions upon billions of people do not know Jesus Christ and his gospel. The fullness of truth is available to only a very small percentage of the population. St. Paul was even aware of this back in his time, this very same problem we have in the 21st century. St. Paul went to Athens, and we find recorded in Scripture, in the Acts of the Apostles, that St. Paul's spirit was provoked. And why was his spirit provoked? Because he saw that the city of Athens was filled with many, many cults worshiping idols. You see how little has changed in the world since the time of St. Paul. Well, in our own time, the Second Vatican Council commented on the confusion of the modern world in which we find ourselves living when it wrote that a large part of humanity, and we quote now the Council, struck with wonder at its own discoveries and its own powers, often raises anxious questions about the current trend of the world, about the place and the role of man in the universe, about the meaning of his individual and collective strivings, and about the ultimate destiny of reality and humanity. Hence, the priest has a lifelong task assigned to him. But he is always able to take great consolation in words that we find in the Didache, one of the oldest collections of books in the church. Wherever the message of the Lord is taught, there is the Lord himself. Through the centuries, a great deal has been written naturally about the priest as a preacher. Pope St. Gregory the Great, in one of his letters, says, it is the duty of a pastor to have in his thoughts constantly the ministry of preaching, pondering with the most earnest fear those words of our Lord, trade till I come. It's interesting that in many of Pope St. Gregory's writings in Latin, when he is talking about the priest as a preacher, he does not use the Latin verb predicare, which means to preach. He's talking about the priest as a preacher, but he uses the Latin verb docere, which means to teach. It's a very interesting choice of verbs. Pope Gregory's preoccupation seems to be with the disposition. How to get the disposition of the preacher right, and how to dispose the congregation to listen to the preacher. For Pope Gregory, the problem does not appear to be something terribly, terribly complex. A priest cannot be effective or cannot expect to be effective in spreading the gospel if his life does not reflect what he preaches, and if he makes no effort to understand the people to whom he is preaching. The office of the priest, according to Pope St. Gregory, is not only to speak things of great importance, but to show by his conduct that those things are supremely important to him. So Pope Gregory the Great added a tremendous amount to our knowledge of the priestly role as preacher of the Word of God. The 21st century in which we live is an interesting century, because when you consider the role of the priest as preacher in the 21st century, you find, do you not, a deadening silence. A deadening silence on matters controversial. And this is particularly true in the area of sexual morality in our time. One strain of thought would tell us that a priest must never get up in the pulpit and say anything that would offend people, anything that would hurt people. For example, a priest must never get up in the pulpit and defend humanae vitae, the church's teaching against artificial contraception. Oh, no, you will offend. The priest must soften his tone on abortion. The priest must not talk about cohabitation. All the various areas of sexual morality we know so well in our society today. This, my good people, is a misdirected pastoral sensitivity. It's interesting that back in 1917, against the backdrop of the First World War, Pope Benedict XV addressed this very issue. He tried to summarize the ideal sort of preacher. And this is what he wrote, and it has great, great relevance in our time. He imparted all the teachings and precepts of Christ, even the most stern. He did not hold back or soften anything that concerned humility, self-denial, chastity, contempt for merely human things, obedience, forgiveness for enemies, and other such subjects. He showed no timidity in declaring that a choice must be made between the service of God and that of secularity, that one cannot serve both, that a fearful judgment awaits men after death, that there can be no compromising with God. One can hope for eternal life if the whole law be obeyed. But if one neglects duty by yielding to unlawful desires, then it is the punishment of eternal fire which is to be expected. Pope Benedict XV's words have almost a haunting quality about them today, do they not, in the 21st century? We are not to have a deadening silence from the pulpit on matters controversial. We are to explain them clearly, in charity, of course, always in charity, but we are to explain clearly and unambiguously the teachings of our Lord and Master, whether people want to listen to them or do not want to listen to them. We are to preach them in season, and we are to preach them out of season. Well, 3 years after Pope Benedict XV wrote what he wrote, he issued another encyclical letter called Spiritus Paracletus. He wrote it to commemorate the 15th centenary of the death of St. Jerome, that wonderful scripture scholar from the early church. In that letter, Pope Benedict considers the scriptures indispensable for a priest's mission as a preacher, as well as a great nourishment, of course, for his own spiritual life. As a source of inspiration for preaching, however, there was no substitute for the Word of God. In fact, an individual priest's words, according to Benedict, and we are quoting him, carry neither weight nor authority, nor have they any power to fashion men's souls unless they are molded by the scriptures from which they draw force and power. The words of the priest should be flavored by reading of the scriptures, for everything that the scripture says is like a mighty trumpet call that smites the ears of the faithful with its warning message. Nothing is so striking as an example from the sacred scriptures. Well, in the Church of the Second Vatican Council and the years following that you and I know so well, the ministry of the Word has occupied much theological writing, including two very, very eminent theologians of our time, the late Cardinal Hans Urs von Balthasar of Switzerland and Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, whom we mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. Von Balthasar takes his lead from the Gospel of John. I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. And von Balthasar also takes this scriptural passage. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. These themes now of sending and obedience are seen in the life of Christ sent by his heavenly Father and by the apostles who were sent by Christ. Von Balthasar is also very, very taken with the image of the Good Shepherd who calls the sheep, who loves them, who guards them, and who lays down his life for them. And Balthasar says that priestly ministry in the New Testament involves a complete commitment to service and self-sacrifice for the sake of the flock. Speaking with authority, he says, speaking with authority, the shepherd guides his flock by his preaching and by his teaching. Well, in a similar way to what Hans Urs von Balthasar is saying, Cardinal Ratzinger, in an essay written some years ago, stressed, and we are quoting him, the first duty of the priest to proclaim the gospel of God to all. He recognized, though, that in placing an emphasis on the ministry of the word, the council did not neglect the other aspects of the ministerial office of the priest as well. And this is what he writes. The priest is an evangelist, but the ministry of the word does not displace the sacramental or pastoral dimensions. In more recent years, in his more recent writings, the cardinal speaks of the authority of the priest as representing Christ the Lord. A man who is ordained in apostolic succession, the priest does indeed share in the apostolic ministry of the bishop, Cardinal Ratzinger. The apostle acts not out of his own authority, but Christ's. Not as a member of the community, but as over against the community, and addressing the community in Christ's name. Since the word of God always comes from above, the preacher derives that authority from God. Since God's word always comes from above and transmits itself through the course of history, the church necessarily has a dialogue sort of structure. The church therefore requires an official ministry that stands with Christ and that represents Christ to the community. Bishops and priests are therefore ordained to preserve the teaching of the apostles, to stand for Christ today in our world. In his encyclical letter, Ecclesiam Suam, Pope Paul VI could not have been more forceful on this idea of preaching. We want to stress once more, he writes, the very important place that preaching still has, especially in the modern Catholic apostolate, and in connection with the dialogue, which is our present concern. No other form of communication can take its place, not even the exceptionally powerful and effective means provided by modern technology. The press, radio, and television, none of them can take its place. In effect, the apostolate and sacred preaching are more or less synonymous terms. Preaching is the primary apostolate. Our ministry, venerable brethren, says Paul VI, is before all else the ministry of the word. Very, very powerful statement from our Holy Father. And just about a decade following the council, the Holy Father expanded this theme to talk about the concept of evangelization. Such is the grace, such is the vocation proper to the church. It's the church's deepest identity, Paul VI reminded priests throughout the world. He told them that the church exists to evangelize, that is to teach and to preach, to proclaim with authority the word of God. Such is carried out sacramentally, yes. Such is carried out pastorally, certainly. And all of these together have as their goal bringing the gospel more effectively into the lives of communities and bringing the gospel more effectively into the lives of individual peoples. Writing in the apostolic exhortation Evangelii Nuntiandi in 1976, The Pope said that priests are associated with bishops in the ministry of evangelization, a concept which he defined in broad terms as meaning, and we quote him, to proclaim with authority the word of God, to assemble the scattered people of God, to feed this people with the signs and the action of Christ, which are the sacraments, to set this people on the road to salvation, to maintain it in that unity in which we are, at different levels, active and living instruments, and unceasingly to keep this community gathered around Christ and faithful to its deepest vocation. The years continue on, and as we develop this theme of the priest as preacher of the Word of God, we come to our current Holy Father, John Paul II, and his Apostolic Constitution on Priestly Formation, that magnificently beautiful document, Pastores Dabo Vobis. In that letter, John Paul follows very closely both the Second Vatican Council and his predecessor, Paul VI, in his teaching on the priestly ministry of the Word. But then, in addition, the Holy Father also wrote an encyclical letter, Redemptoris Missio, and he expands on the theme a bit further, and this is the fact that he stresses. The spiritual gift that presbyters have received in ordination, John Paul writes, prepares them not for any narrow and limited mission, but for the most universal and all-embracing mission of salvation to the ends of the earth. The Holy Father brings this home to each priest in his own particular locale, stating that the priest as a teacher and as an evangelizer must be concerned not only with the Catholic people who have been entrusted to him, but also with the general population who live within his parish, who may not even be of the Catholic faith. Jesuit Cardinal Avery Dulles sums up very beautifully John Paul's teaching on the priest as preacher of the Word of God. This is what Cardinal Dulles says. At one point in his encyclical, John Paul II recalls how St. Paul journeyed to Athens, the cultural center of the Greco-Roman world, to proclaim the gospel at the Areopagus, where the most influential intellectuals were accustomed to gather. Today, says the Pope, a new culture is emerging under the aegis of contemporary means of communication. And if the gospel is to make contact with this culture, people of faith must be at home with new languages, new techniques, and new psychology. In speaking of the new Areopagi, John Paul II adverts to the new worlds of scientific research, economics, political science, and international relations. Ordinarily speaking, he says, it will be the task of the laity to permeate the sciences and the professions with Christian values, and thus to bridge the gap between faith and culture. But, it is the task of priests to motivate these initiatives and to arouse a lively ecclesial consciousness in lay apostles. How do you give that lively ecclesial consciousness to lay apostles? By good, solid doctrinal preaching. This, according to Cardinal Dulles, is what John Paul II is telling the world. The priestly ministry of the Word also has a very practical side, namely one's preparation, one's inner disposition. Regarding that latter point, the priest must be especially careful in the matter of faithfulness, because it most certainly is Christ's teaching, and not the priest's own opinion that he is preaching. Centuries ago, St. Vincent of Lerins addressed himself to this point of not preaching personal opinion. This is centuries ago. Listen to Vincent of Lerins. Guard what has been entrusted to you. But what is something that has been entrusted to you? It is what has been given to you, not what you yourself have found. What you have received, not what you have thought up. Not a matter of invention, but of doctrine. Not of private use, but of public tradition. Whose author you should not be, but its guardian. Preserve inviolate and spotless the talent of the Catholic faith. What was entrusted to you, you should keep and you should hand over. You have received gold, deliver gold. Do not shamefully replace the gold with lead. Teach the same things as you have learned. Though you may say things in a new way, do not say new things. That is so enormously important for the priest as preacher of the Word of God that he must maintain this strict doctrinal orthodoxy today. He must be a man who might be described as one who is who follows the principle sentire cum ecclesia. The priest must be a man of one mind and one heart with the church. Because whenever he gets into that pulpit, he is the church's spokesman in a particularly solemn and official way. The priest must think of what he's going to say to his congregation. But first of all, he must have something to say. He must have that spirit of Christ about him. In his work, The Priest Is Not His Own, Archbishop Fulton Sheen notes that the preacher without the spirit of Christ is like the prophet whom Elias sent to revive a dead man. Although he brought with him the prophet's staff, no miracle happened, for the virtue of the staff was negated by the hands that held it. One may hold the scriptures of the Lord in the pulpit as the prophet held the staff in his hand, but no souls are saved. The absence of an inner spiritual life, writes Fulton Sheen, makes sermonizing dull, stale, flat, and unprofitable. That is from his work, The Priest Is Not His Own. Sheen's thought is that any preacher to be effective must spend time in the presence of the Eucharistic Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The priest who is not kept near the fires of the tabernacle, he writes, can strike no sparks from the pulpit. And the priest's words would have even greater impact if they were prepared in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. And finally, Archbishop Sheen notes this point. Every person to whom we preach, we shall meet again on the judgment day. How great our joy, then, if we have rectified their consciences and elevated them to the embrace of the Sacred Heart. No wonder that Moses, Elias, and Jeremias all tried to run away from the crushing burden of delivering the word of the Lord. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I believed and so I spoke. This is every preacher's belief. This is every preacher's joy.
Join Father Charles Connor next week at this time to find out more about the Catholic priesthood through the ages here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.